All right. Hello, all. It's Deborah Krasniewski from ADEAD. ADEAD was formed to have successful marriages in our firm community. And to that end, we have lots of resources for pre-dating, dating, engaged, and marriage. And we also got a grant from the City of New York to deal with domestic abuse. And you might find that on our website, not to say that it's proportionate, but that's where some of our funding came from, and so we address that as well. We have all kinds of workshops and lots of resources. We also have the daily marriage tips, which that you can get online. I'm sorry, you can get via WhatsApp. It's also on Facebook and Instagram. And we'd love for you to join that. On the website, you can get the information at adead.org/just-one-thing. And we've been doing several talks and several resources for Corona specifically because our life has changed somewhat a lot in these last weeks. So we have a special page in our website for adead, adead.org/corona. And all the resources are there, including the daily marriage tips and this recording, the recordings we've done for all the other different types of relationships. Dating is one of the biggest questions that I keep getting, and I've spoken to several daters, shadchanim, parents, and so I have my perspective and some practical ideas. Some of it will resonate with you. Some of it you may have to chew over and see if it resonates with you, and some of it may not work well for you, but I'm going to be throwing out lots of different ideas, and just take it and see what works for you. Sorry. So, Corona and Shidduchim. Different people have different ideas of what we might be doing during this time. At the very beginning, people thought this wasn't going to last very long, and so they were holding off. But now we see that it will be, it will be a while. Different states have different regulations and what that would look like even later. So originally people were saying, okay, so let me use this time for finding the shidduch. Let me use this time for researching and finding out about people. And kol kavod, do that. Wonderful. But now we're seeing that this is going on a little bit longer. And I can tell you that I spoke to several daters who are dating this way, and they're finding it to work very well for them. Of course, there are some people who are dating this way in this long distance, and it isn't working well for them. But that's how it works in real life. Lots of dates happen. Some of them move forward into more of a relationship and then eventually into marriage, and some of the dates don't. So to say that dating a long distance doesn't work, and I know it didn't work for this person and that person and the other person, well, a lot of dating doesn't work for this person, that person, and the other person. I just want to put that into perspective. Some other people are using this time to regroup, to reflect on who they are, what they want out of marriage. So lots of different aspects of what you could be doing about Shidduchim in this time. But most of our talk is going to be about the actual dating during Corona. And there's lots of different perspectives and different ways that there's a lot of benefits. I, for one, have found this Corona time, this forced change in thinking. We have to go out of the box in our thinking. It was forced upon us for so long. We may have been complacent and thinking certain things is just the way it's done. Corona has forced many of us to think differently about our business, our families, our values, our priorities, and all kinds of different things, as well as how we have been dating. And so those questions that came to me about how we can be dating really got me thinking. And so I spoke to several different people about different ideas, and we expanded on each other's ideas. So that's what I'm going to be sharing today. So we look for the opportunities. We look to deal with our reality. There was a what was, the way we, for everything in life is when there's a change, there's what was, what is, and what will be. The what was, in regards for dating, was mostly we dated in person, and then it either turned into a marriage or it didn't. Some people did date in some long-distance version to start, but most of our dating was done in person. Now we have a different situation. what is our reality is saying that for many of us, we cannot date in person, whether people don't want to be in an airplane and fly, or really you're not supposed to yet be within 6 feet of someone who doesn't live in your house. So that's the regulations. We're not going to talk about the politics of the regulations or the wisdom of the regulations. Everyone has different understandings of what the doctors are saying and if it's political or not. That's not the point. The point is that it's not, right now it's not accepted to be dating in person. You know, different situations are different, but in general, the long distance dating is still the main way of dating today. You could choose not to date altogether, but if you were going to date, it would be a long distance situation. And then we can talk a little bit about what will be. I'm going to guess that some of what we learn, and I'm actually going to guess and hope that some of what we learn from this long distance dating will carry on into the future. And we found several benefits. Yes, we found some of the drawbacks as well, but I want to talk to the benefits first, the benefits that people are finding from this type of long-distance dating. What the long-distance dating looks like, we'll discuss in a little bit. But from this type of long-distance dating, for most cases, it's phone calls and some sort of computer conversations, whether it's videos or playing a game together and all different kind of things, but it's not in person. And what people have found is that they're getting to know a different side of people. Well, think of it, if technology is not working well, then and the person is getting frustrated, or is the person patient? If you were going to do a multiplayer game and you couldn't download it, is he frustrated because that's what he or she planned for the date? Or to go with the flow. And these are valuable personality traits to have in a marriage. And not to say that you couldn't be a successful marriage if you were more rigid, but flexibility and humor and being able to laugh at yourself are very important traits for life. And that's what you can see easily through this situation. You can also, because you have different ideas of what is safe and not safe, and you know, if you want to meet and you don't want to meet, there's a lot of this decision-making, and I would say let the young people do the decision-making, not the shadchan and the parents, but let them talk it out. They're old enough to get married, and in marriage, they definitely will have to talk things out. There's lots of opportunities here to talk it out. The Shalom Task Force always says that you should not commit to marriage until you have one conflict, and they don't mean to fight, but they have one situation that you've talked it out, and you can see how you feel in the talking it out, how the other person feels, how you feel, think they feel, the outcome, and then, you know, how do they laugh at your ideas, do they take it seriously, do they dismiss it, do they have to have their ideas, you know, all of that. So this long-distance dating kind of just feeds that. There's lots of things to discuss. And I would say take it out of the hands of the shotgun for these discussions and have the discussions yourself. There's also, because this kind of dating is so new, there's a lot of room for creativity, innovativeness, and so that's, on the other hand, why it's not for certain personalities, and certain personalities would have a harder time with it. But it is a way to personalize the dates. It's new. So only certain types of personalities are going to be the part of the early adopters. Later on, others may jump onto it, but only certain adventurous, risk-taking personalities which would try this. And so you get to know that about someone early on. So people are finding that they're seeing a different aspect of the people through this type of dating. Not to say that everything else that they would like to know about someone they are not finding, they're also doing that as well, but early on they're getting to see a little bit more of the personality. They're not seeing their face perhaps, and they don't know if they're physically attracted, or they're seeing their face but they're not seeing the whole body and the whole physique and how they walk, and they're also not seeing how they interact with other people. Yes, there are pieces, like I said, there are some drawbacks, but there are a lot of benefits. And truth is, this is our reality. If you want to be dating for marriage at this point, this is the way to do it. Now, if you take a step back, and in much of life and in much of decision-making and in much of strategies and planning, you work from the objective and then you kind of build the how. If you, so like they say, if you know the why, you could build the how. So our why is still the same. Our objective is still the same, to date, to meet someone to marry. The how has changed somewhat because of our new reality. So it's the objective is still there. The how has changed. Some people are easier to adapt to a new kind of how, and some people are less easy, and it's just a personality. And I'm not to say if it really is difficult for someone's personality, then it's difficult. They can and should work through it. Recently, Brené Brown, who's the big one, researcher and sharer of issues like shame and vulnerability, she spoke about first times. And when she said about the first time, she said all first times are difficult. And we know that to Paulus Kashas, all first times are difficult. And they're not only difficult in the skill aspect of it, like it's just hard to do because I don't know how to do it, but they're also difficult in the emotional part of it. So she says that this is how she breaks down dealing with new situations, and it's relevant in this case as well. She says, the first, recognize, identify for yourself that you're in a new situation, in a first-time situation. Once you've identified for yourself and recognize that it's a first-time situation, which in this case, in this dating, it's much easier to recognize that it's a first-time. But in other cases, like first you may have that stress and you're like wondering what's going on for you, and then you have to identify for yourself that you're in a first-time. So once you recognize that you're in a first-time situation, then begin to normalize it. Say, yes, the way I feel is normal for a first time. This is what new feels like. New feels stressful. New feels weird or vulnerable or like a rookie. People don't like to feel like a rookie, and people don't like to try new things. Some people don't like to try new things if they're not sure they're going to do well at it. Other people are more okay with that. But really, really, that's they say that the magic happens outside our comfort zone. So this is a biggie. Dating is a biggie to be doing outside our comfort zone. But it may be worth it. In general, as she says, that whenever we try something new, we strengthen our brave muscle. We strengthen our muscle of trying new things, which in life in general, lots of new things come at us, and there's risks and different kinds of things that we ought to take, or we lose out opportunities. So this is one more opportunity for you to strengthen your trying new things. So first is identify that you're in a first time. Then normalize it. It's normal. This is what new feels like. It's normal to be anxious. Then step two, we have to put it into perspective. New is only going to last a certain amount of time. Awkwardness is only going to last a certain amount of time. Uncertain about how I'm going to do in this only lasts a certain amount of time, and then you get better at it. So recognize that it's not going to be like this forever, and you may even laugh at it later, or you may actually enjoy it. It's just the new. You have to go into the new in order for you to get out on the other side with the sense of, I did this. And that sense of, I did this, is also good for our self-esteem. So number one is normalize. Number two is put in perspective. And number three, Brené Brown says, is reality check your expectations. Some people think that I'll do it the first time. Okay, it'll be a little awkward just the first time, and then I'll get into it. No, it could be awkward a second time as well. And realize that you're not going to be good at it automatically. So yes, you might bomb the first time. You can try it with a friend or with something else. Or you can try this dating, and it doesn't go well. Worst case scenario, you tell the shots because it didn't go well, and it didn't really represent who I am. I'd like to have another chance, or something like that. So that's about newness in general. Again, it's not for every personality, and I'm not going to try to convince you. I'm just trying to put some perspective, something to maybe help you if you think about it in a different way. The objective is still the same. The how we're doing it can be different, and it is different now. Just moving on. And there are also other benefits to this long distance dating. Some of them are more obvious, like you can date someone who's not in your local location. The short coffee date is becoming a little bit more normalized, where we don't have to invest a lot of time. Some people are very, very busy, and so they are more selective on who they date because they don't have a lot of time. So they choose who, they're more selective on who they're going to date. So if you're going to have a one-hour coffee meeting online or on the phone, it's maybe more people will be meeting each other. There's also, in a way, there's less distraction and there's less preparation. I don't know if you saw what we put out on the top 10 reasons to date. They were separate for guys and girls, and it's going to be on the website. Some of them are humorous, more humorous than the others. Like someone said, number one is the mute button. So that was just the humor part. Of course, don't really use it in real life. Okay. So until now, the common way of dating was, like I said, meeting in person. Now there are so many different ways, the creative ways to meet. And we're going to talk a little bit about how this can play out. So generally, unless both of you are both in the same city and you both decide together that you are going to meet in person, whether it's 6 feet apart, I'm not making any judgments on that. Generally, you're going to be meeting from two different locations, even if the two different locations is next door or halfway around the world, you're meeting from two different locations. Now, some people prefer to start, you're meeting in two different locations, then you'll figure out how you can meet in person, because you absolutely cannot commit to marriage without having met in person. So much so that's the halacha. You cannot agree to get married if you haven't met in person. So you will at some point meet in person. So then people ask questions, well, should we start now if we don't know how long this is going to be? I'm going to answer that soon. But I want to describe how this can play out. So first you meet in some long distance, whether it's phone or video call. For some people, they can go straight to video call. For some people, they'd rather try on the phone because they're saying things along the lines of, like, I don't want the first thing I say to him is, can you see me? Can you move your camera so I can see you? Like, and things like that. So you start off with a phone call. Again, some people are very comfortable on the in front of the camera. Some people do it for work, so it's not a big deal. Some people, it would be their first time, so they'd rather meet on the phone. That should all be arranged through the shatan of what you're going to be doing. I'm going to say that phone conversations or video calls take a lot more focus and a lot more energy than meeting in person. So the phone call or the video call should be scheduled to be shorter than a traditional date. While we usually say that a first date should be 2-3 hours, we could say now that the first date should be 40 minutes, 60 minutes, 80 minutes tops. As long as everybody knows what's to be expected, and if one is really tired, and it's very possible that one can get really tired, if you're looking at the screen, you can get screen fatigue, or just in general, like I said, it takes a lot more energy. Brain space and thinking and focusing takes real energy. And so it could be more exhausting. So if people know in advance it's going to be shorter, no one gets insulted. But of course, you could break the rule. If both of you feel like you want to continue, you don't have to end at the predetermined time. But so start off with a predetermined amount of time, and you can choose to just ignore that predetermined time. The phone call, the first date phone call, is like a regular first date. We're just trying to see if we enjoy each other's company. Like I said, if you feel that you really didn't come across as who you are, then let the shadchan know that you didn't come across as who you are, and they shouldn't dismiss the whole shidduch. Because we know that impressions on the computer are not always accurate, it's really worthwhile to do a second meeting, a second date, and just be aware that not to make such strong judgments on the first impressions. On our website, adaya.org/corona-dating, there's several dating ideas. conversations to have and what you might do in the different types of dating. So if you're doing phone call is pretty much a phone call. You could also be doing something and being on the phone as well, but many of those kind of doing and talking are done by video. And so you can use any of the technology. If it's just two people, you really don't have to use Zoom. Zoom is designed for many people. So even though people call them Zoom dates, I would really, from the tech aspect, I would not suggest to use Zoom. You can use Skype is better. Google Hangouts is okay. WhatsApp video. I would suggest to do something where you have the laptop rather than the video, rather than the phone, because it's stable and you don't walk around with it and you're in one place, just like you would be if you were sitting on a table. But then there are some dates, some suggestions where you would be taking a walk, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But generally, as far as the tech, I would say Skype if you're doing a video call. What you can do on the video call, we'll talk about in a second. Another option is to do a multiplayer games when you're talking and playing at the same time. You may be on the phone and playing, depending on which game you have. You can also be using your video and doing something at the same time. Like there's some ideas of, like, both of you have a box of Lego and you're build, you know, there's something called Lego Challenge, and we each have a box of Lego and you build a certain something based on what the Lego Challenge tells you to build. So you have the video cameras on both of you and you can see what each other is doing. So those are some of the different kinds of things that people have done. Or I know one couple was playing Othello online. Battleship is one of those easy games that you can actually, if each of you have the game at home, you can just, you know, say like A7. And so both of the axis is very easy to understand how the other, you know, where the other person is talking about. So you can play games like that. You can have your board, but you can see each other on the camera. Another tech piece I just wanted to put in is that if you're using something like Skype or Zoom or whatever, make the setting in a way that you don't see yourself. People become very self-conscious and they look at themselves a lot, and so it's just better to not have that setting. You can check yourself in the beginning, you know, make sure that the camera is on you correctly and that the background behind you is neat and clean and not overly distracting. Yes, you don't want to see your dirty shirt in the background. You should be dating in a nice place, in a comfortable place, not your bedroom under your blankets. Yeah, this is a date. This is real. As a matter of fact, you should be getting dressed. You should take a shower, and you should get dressed. You may or may not wear your heels because you're not even standing up, but you should be fully dressed. I know a lot of people have just their top dressed and their pajama pants on or whatever. Get fully dressed. It gets you into the right mindset, and that's super important, is to be in the mindset. Many times part of getting into the mindset is the actual prep. So the girls are getting dressed and, you know, they're here and whatever else. The guys are usually taking care of the location, and that's what gets them into the mindset. Here there's less prep on the location, but if you're going to do something interesting, like a multiplayer game or something else, that's where the guy might be putting some prep time and some think time, and that helps them get into the mindset as well. Some other things that you might do is, like, there's a way to share YouTube, and there's all kinds of videos, you know, whatever level you're up to, I'm not judging, share videos. There's something called Ear Time, which you can both watch the same YouTube, and you can see each other as well. It's similar to Netflix Party. There's all kinds of tech like that. One of you can send to the other popcorn. You can do date in a box, and where you send whatever it is that, you know, for the date, you send it either by mail or some other way, and then you have the props of whatever it is you wanted to do. On Zoom, you're also able to change the background, so you can pretend that you're in the Taj Mahal, you know, wherever you want to be in the whole wide world. You can at least pretend to be there. And then you can do all kinds of virtual museums walking through virtual museums together and talking about what you'd see. Obviously, if you're not into museums, it's not an idea for you. But if you were into museums and if you were in person, you might have gone to a museum. There are virtual museums from all over the world. You don't only have to go to the local museums in your city. So there's lots of those kinds of ideas. They're all listed. The ideas that we had are listed on the website. And I intentionally did not give links to every single museum or things like that. I just gave the overall idea because it's important that you put the effort into finding the one that works well for you and also to get you into the mindset. Now, you could choose between you, he and she, who decides what we're doing on the date. And that's, again, part of those discussions that you have. And in those discussions is where you can get to know how each other thinks, how you work together. Some other ideas that you might have as far as these long-distance computer dating is there's virtual tours, like I said. There's online escape rooms. There's all kinds of board games and armchair traveling. And you can do paint nights. You can, in that date-in-a-box kind of way, or you can have a plate and the oil paints and things like that, and then you're talking as you're doing it. And these are things that are done all the time, like when there's long distance relationships. These are from some of those ideas. You can go to Amazon window shopping. You can go to Pinterest and then you look at things that are familiar to both of you. You could or of interest to both of you, actually. You could show family pictures. You could do play some of those games. What can you make with toilet paper or whatever it is? You can do, there's all kinds of Pictionary apps and things like that. You can doodle on each other's images and things like that. You can also, of course, have read a book and then have a book discussion. You can, I mean, of course, you could have done that in real-time dating, but you can do that as well now. TED Talks, you can do Laffy Taffy jokes. There's so many things you can do. It's really just a matter of personality. I just wanted to pull out the idea of, like, just because you're not in person doesn't mean that you can't have fun and have get to really know the other person. Another thing to consider is that because we don't know how long this will be, and this may be long or not, dating probably will take a little bit longer anyway because it's a little bit slower. You're not really meeting the person, and the dates are shorter because you can't sit by a computer as long. So it's okay. Like, you'll meet eventually, and these are ways to just to get to know different aspects of each other, not only sitting and talking and interrogating each other and looking at each other's 2D pixelated face on the computer, but getting to know each other from different ways as well. There's all kinds of Mad Libs and all kinds of things to see each other. And I think that this is one of the things that is exciting to me, is that even after Corona, and we don't have to be doing long distance, we might do long distance, and or we might bring some of these other ideas into dates in between, or like half hour dates in the middle of, you know, we don't have to always be meeting, renting a car and meeting each other. You could be doing just meeting on the phone or video calls between, especially if people are in two different cities. Now, yes, we can fly back and forth when we can fly back and forth easily, but in between, you can be doing some of these activities and not only Skyping and having interview conversations face-to-face or like pixelated face to pixelated face. At some point, you may want to meet in person or you see each other. So another level of social distancing or physical distancing, as someone once called it, is to actually both of you drive up in your car, park your cars near each other, and then talk on the phone or play games, and I'll give you a couple ideas. So you're actually seeing each other, but you have the glass between you, and that is, like, safe. You can do that from earlier on if you're both living in the same city and you feel comfortable with that. You can park in a parking lot. You can park overlooking the Palisades, or you can park, you know, looking at some place where you can see the sunset or whatever it is. You can even park in Walmart's parking lot and do people watching if that's your personality. When you're in the car and talking to each other and you can see each other, there's other things that you can do. You imagine things with a whiteboard. You can play hangman, where you say the letter you want and one of them writes it on the whiteboard, and all kinds of whiteboard kind of things. You can also meet in, again, like the Backman game and all those kind of things. Then there's a next layer of, a next level of meetings. And like we said, there's many restrictions. Many of the hotel lounges are not yet open. So as far as you want to meet in person, whether it's 6 feet apart, remember, talking to someone 6 feet apart is a little bit hard. If you have to talk louder. And you also have to concentrate a little bit better, especially if there's other noise. So the day, again, may be shorter because it's a little bit harder. It's up to you about safety, and I'm not judging, and I'm not saying, and that's part of the conversation that the two of you will have. You may see that you're on the same level. You may see that you're not. You may want to convince the other. You may not want to convince the other. That's all part of conversation. But if you do choose to actually meet in person, and so you can, there are lots of people who are offering their private property, whether it's backyards, rooftops, doctor's offices. Again, you have to be very careful with yichud if it's like a closed place and no one else is going to come. But there are people who are offering their spaces. There was a list being passed around on WhatsApp in the whole greater New York area, Muncie, Flappers, Borough Park, Five Towns, of where people are saying what they have available and their contact information. You can also meet in the park or public gardens. You can do hiking. A lot of the hikes are open. Again, consider yichud there. You can also, and one doesn't have to pick up the other. You can both drive there and then meet. So you're not sitting in the same car, which is less than 6 feet apart. You could have a picnic or a tailgate, but a tailgate where you are sitting, you know, eating, whatever you want to imagine a tailgate date can look like. You can make a barbecue or whatever. You can walk around a fancy neighborhood and look at the houses. Two people can walk together. Or you can see the luxury homes, and you can walk to the marina and see the boats and the yachts. You can also play lawn games. Certain lawn games are easier to play, like, you know, like toss the horseshoe over the stick that sticks out, or those large-scale chess and checker games, where you don't have to actually be sitting right next to each other. You can be further apart. So those are some of the activities that you can do to get together, but a little bit apart. Now, I'm feeling lots of activities, and I'm not talking about the talking so much, but that's how regular dating goes. Many people will do talking and the game, or talking and walking along the boardwalk, or window shopping on Fifth Avenue. Oh, that's another idea that you could do, is window shopping. While most of the shops are not open, many of their windows still have things in display. Some of them have changed for the season. Some of them have the same windows from when they closed, and that's an interesting conversation about the stores and different things like that. So that's about the how and where dating. So remember that you still have to have all of the conversations that you would have had when you were dating in the old way of dating. You, even though it's new and absurd and you're learning things about the people and different things about each other, you still have to make sure that you cover everything else. And I really want to stress that, because so much is new that it feels different. It doesn't feel like the regular dating, so that things may get fall by the wayside because we're dealing with so many other things. It's very important to make sure that you get the information that you want. You get a sense of who the other person is, and you get a sense of a reflection of who you, and how you feel about your dates and how you feel about the other person. So some questions, let's just see. A few tips. If you're doing phone date, or you're doing video call, or you're doing a multiplayer kind of thing, let the other one know in advance so they dress accordingly, or they just get into the right mindset accordingly. Discuss how long the call will be. Notice what is behind you in the background. You can make a list of things that you want to talk about. And for those of you where there might be some silence, who are concerned about silence, that's another benefit, is you can actually have a list slightly out of the view of the camera, or if your phone is even easier, of your favorite topics. So that's another benefit, especially for some people who find dating very difficult. You can have your cheat sheet or your list or your topics on the side. Also, for these kind of calls, plan that you're going to need a bathroom break and a stretch break. And, of course, if you want to say, let's be honest, and to check your phone break. But as far as technology-wise, don't hang up and start all over again. Just take a break and come back exactly when you say you're going to come back. But do plan that it's going to happen, and you can even plan in advance. Okay, so we'll chat for an hour. We'll take a 5-minute stretch break, and then we'll be back so that you you can know that in advance if you feel like you need that. Now, a few questions came in, and I want to address those. Some questions came in advance, and some questions came in now. There are some things that are missing that we don't get to see when we're dating long distance, and how could that be addressed? So one of the things that people are concerned about is they're not going to see how they interact with other people. Usually you get to see how they interact with the waiter or the valet or just other people. Open the door and you're walking into a lounge, and you might see if he or she keeps the door open for the next person who's coming in. And here you don't see him or her with anyone else. Well, if you take an online class with other people, then you do get to see to some degree how they interact with other people. Not always, and not every class has that situation, but you might suggest a class where you have that situation. And don't forget that you will be meeting in person, and if everything looks great on the long distance dating, and then when you meet in person, you see something very different. Okay, you did invest time, you did invest energy, but that's how all dating is. At some point, at a later point, things are moving nicely to date number 6, and then something else you discovered in date number 7 that you don't feel it's a good match. So here, it could be a different order, but at some point you decided that this is not a good match. So yes, you might have noticed it earlier, and you wouldn't have gone any further, but there's always that. So we just changed the order here. Traditionally, if you would have heard whatever it was, a date number 7, you would have heard of date number 3, then you wouldn't have gone to date number 4 and 5 either. So there's always something. If this doesn't turn into a marriage, there's always something that didn't let it go further. It's just now it might be in a different order. Some other things that you might do, we're not in this, the ambiance is always the same background. Well, firstly, it doesn't really have to be. You can really change it up. You, like I said, Zoom has different backgrounds. You can be in different rooms. You can say, or you can go to the park. You can do a walk through your own neighborhood and show, this is my shul, this is my school, this is the park where I used to play, this is my backyard, my best friends. You know, so you're not necessarily always in the same ambiance or the same background. Yes, you don't have the same body language or full body language. Yes, that is missing. But you do get to know quite a bit about somebody from other ways as well. Yes, body language is part of it. Doing some video calling. And you will meet in person, like I said. Okay. So another question that came in. Let's just see what that is. How often should we be dating? You could date, like I said, this may spread out a long time. Now, some of the dating that people have been doing, they date like 2-3 days in a row, especially if one person has traveled to the other, then they date very consistently, and like one after the other, and there's no time for reflection. We don't know how long this is going to be, you can. And there's no rush because no one really travels one to the other and is like out of their element. You can date like two times a week or five times in 2 weeks, meaning like 1 week is 3 days and 1 week is 2 days. I would not suggest to do it only once a week because these dates generally are going to be shorter. You cover less and so spread it out over 1 week. To spread out a week between each one, you kind of lose the momentum because you only have like an hour or an hour and a half of talking and being with each other, and then you're going to wait a whole week. I think that's too much of a break. So I would say 2 to 3 times a week. And depending on your schedules, it could be different times of the day, and you get to see each other in different times. Some people are more morning people, and so if morning actually starts working for both of you, or if one of you is somewhat flexible with your schedule and you can switch it up, then try different times of the day. Question, should we start if we don't know how long the social distancing will be? I would say yes. Basically, like I said, the experience itself is valuable, even if this is not the person you end up marrying, and it pulls you out of your comfort zone. It's great, and for that alone, it's wonderful to pull yourself out of your comfort zone. From the flip of it, if you're actually dating, it's everything may open up sooner than we think, and also, if this doesn't work out, you're not holding on to an idea for 3 months from now. You will know that earlier, and then you can go on to your next idea. So, yes, I think that dating now is a good thing. Like I said earlier, before some of you jumped in on it, for a repeat for the others, is that objective is the same. We're all looking to get married. The how has changed, and this is our new reality, and work with the reality instead of fighting the reality. Now, if it's easier said than done, but that is the stronger way to think about it. If it's my first time dating, should I start now? Actually, that one came in from a parent. Should I convince my daughter to start dating now? There's two parts to that. For a first-time dater, and should I convince my daughter to start dating a long distance? I wanted to address the second part first. She has to be comfortable. If it's an advocate telling a young man to date, or trying to convince him, if they are really uncomfortable with the idea, they may not present well. It's really up to them. And if they are old enough to get married, they are old enough to decide if they are comfortable enough to try something this new. We shouldn't force them, and we shouldn't make them feel guilty for not dating long distance in this kind of way. Share perspectives. You may be curious about why what their objections are, and then you may address their objections with real concern and validation. Trying to really convince them and saying, you really should, is not going to really help the situation, and it's not going to be good for your relationship either. Some people need a little push. But some people, and then they really want to do it. They just need that little push, encouragement. But some people really do not want to be pushed into this, and so be aware of that because it may impact your relationship later. As far as a first time dater, depends on. I wouldn't be so concerned about the she's almost 21, she's almost 22, and she hasn't dated yet. That doesn't concern me as much. She's going to be 22 by then. It's up to your own family. But if she's willing to try it, then go for it. Dating is new. First time dating is new for everybody. So she's already doing something new. If she's comfortable with technology enough, she doesn't even really know what other kind of dating is like, and she's nervous about that, so there's really less of a difference for her. But again, listen to her. 22 is not old. 22 is nothing to be concerned about. This will be old, in a few weeks to a few months. She won't be 25 by the time this is over, and if it is, we can revisit this. What if we're in two different countries? Let's say Canada and United States, which is the typical ones, but really people are dating from all different countries. Should we start? Again, the same thing like I mentioned earlier. Yeah, why not start? Like I said, this kind of dating takes a little bit longer. You can know quite a bit about each other, and you can figure it out. There are people who have been able to cross the border, or you can figure it out, or you may just have a longer long distance relationship. Long distance relationships could work as long as it's maintained and it's kept fresh and fun. What if each of them have different ideas of social distancing? I'm guessing that means that one of them feels that they should meet in person and the other one is more concerned. Well, that's what the conversations are about, is to take the shotgun out of that conversation and let the two young people who are old enough to get married have that conversation. If they do get married, they would have such conversations. You know, should we go to my parents? If they were just newly married, should we go to my parents? That's a conversation that they would have had, or, you know, something like that. So if they're old enough to get married, they should be the ones having the conversation. This question. Dating was difficult before. How can I leverage long-distance dating? Well, for starters, something that you can do is record yourself. In other words, record yourself in... with or without, ideally with permission, but if you're just recording yourself and seeing your own body language and seeing how you act, and you know, and then you can review it, there might be some information for you there. This is different, and some people do well in not seeing each other, and then you can do like the multiplayer game. You can also have your notes. That might help you. Some people feel frozen. They don't know what to say. So having notes in front of you can help. Taking more frequent breaks. Some people are more of an introvert and, you know, an hour of conversation in the lounge where there's other noise and other distraction and the waiter coming and this and that. It could be more distracting. And so this situation of 40 minutes and a break and 40 minutes and a break may work out better. So there are some advantages. It may be harder for some people, but you can see if there are some advantages for you, for your style in this situation. Those are the questions that came in advance. Let me see if any questions came in now. The person I'm seeing now does not like to video chat. We text all the time. Oh, I want to talk about texting. That's good. We text all the time, but rarely talk and no video chat. We did go on a few dates before COVID. Okay, so there's a few things here. Texting is probably much less good than phone and less good than video chat. As we all know, there's lots of room for misunderstandings. There's also like, I texted and the other one didn't reply, so what's going on? And all kinds of things like that. If she doesn't like to video chat, then you can talk about like what it is that she doesn't like. And again, like I said, you can do it in smaller doses or start with the doing an activity and then the video chat, your video is smaller. So like if you were doing like a board game or something or a Netflix party, for example, the Netflix is the bigger part and you're just smaller. So you're less concerned. Or you're seeing less of the other person, but you're able to talk about whatever you're viewing or whatever you're doing. So it's a smaller picture. So that's some ideas. But I would say move away from the text and do small doses of phone and video chat. And to the one who doesn't like it but already started dating before, get out of your comfort zone a little bit. That's where the magic happens. You can't let this relationship move. This relationship doesn't seem like it's going to move forward if you don't get out of your comfort zone. And so much in life, you have to get out of your comfort zone. So much of married life, you have to get out of your comfort zone. So much of adult life. Here is another opportunity. There's something wonderful that could happen. You just have to pull yourself a little bit out. So you can start off. And another thing, like I said before, is to the one who doesn't like to be on video, just don't look at yourself. Put the setting on where you don't see yourself and you'll be less self-conscious. Another question. Would it help to mention that I did Pesach on my own? Oh, cute little question. Would it help to mention that I did Pesach on my own, or will my date expect me to cook and clean all the time? It really depends on personalities. I think that's pretty cool that you did Pesach on your own. I'm not sure if this is a man, a young man, or a young woman. But as a married couple, you are a team. And if you were thinking that someone's going to expect you to do everything on your own, then you may not have a perfect understanding of what marriage is. You do for somebody, and they do for you, and we have a nice marriage here. If you're expecting that someone's going to take advantage of you, it's worth thinking about what about this taking advantage is something that's actually in your mind at all. But yes, you can mention it. It could be a funny story. It's a whole part of you. Pesach on your own must have been an experience, an adventure. But again, if you don't want to talk about it, you probably have lots of other things. If you were able to do Pesach on your own, you probably have lots of other adventurous stories to talk about. International dating. Okay, I discussed that to some degree. At what point is it that you move from online to in person? That's very individual in that depends what in-person would mean, if it's a flight or driving, depends on what the people, if you're coming into the other place, maybe the other place doesn't have a place for you to stay. I'm not sure how, some places don't have hotels, or people are not letting other guests into their home, not because they don't want to have guests, but they're more concerned about medical. So there's a lot of different aspects in that way. Could you take your job with you? What are you going to do all day in another place, or just quarantine? So there's a lot of aspects like that. And, of course, what people consider safe. So that's pretty much what you would have to discuss, and that's wonderfully an opportunity to discuss different perspectives and work things through. At some point, you will have to meet in person, but it really comes to the question more of comfortability and of your safety concerns. You know, like there are many family members who are not seeing each other because of safety reasons. So safety does come first. So you may have to just continue the long distance dating, but it really, all those are parameters to having that conversation. Okay. You suggested that two people decide between themselves if they're comfortable actually meeting in person. However, if they're living in someone else's house, their meeting someone might not only impact them. They can potentially bring the virus home to their parents. Yes, definitely. But if they're not considerate of their parents, we have a whole different story here. But yes, if you are a parent and you are concerned about them bringing people in, you know, this whole situation, then you have to discuss it in general. Are they going out? Are they going out to the store? Are they meeting with friends in the front lawn? Those are the kinds of things that you would have discussions about in any case. And then you can also say, and as far as this person that you're dating, I really, really, really am concerned for our family health. And at this point, I'm really asking you not to. And then she or he can bring that into the conversation. My parents are very concerned. We're concerned about my parents, or I'm concerned about my roommate, or whatever it is. I don't think we can meet yet. And if they're very dismissive, like that my parents said, you know, the parents say no, and they say yes anyway, that's the dater, the one who's dating them, should really reconsider how much they care about the people who they live with. So those are things to really put out there. Yes, as a parent, yes, they are your adult children. But if it impacts somebody else in the house, you definitely can and should bring it into the conversation. They could choose to, meet and not come back home if they so choose. And they would go move in with their friends until they figure this out. So, like, you know, to some degree, you have input, but they may whatever. You cannot lock them into your house. They are adults, so hopefully they're understanding. But yes, definitely put your 2 cents into their decision making. But you cannot make the decision for them. But more importantly, what I meant by that is that don't take the decision out of their hands and the parents decide with a shadchan. they should be having the conversation. So I covered all the questions that came in. Let me just see if anything else just came in. No. With that, I've covered a lot. Just one other thing that came up from these questions. If someone started dating before, and so they recognize that they enjoy each other's company, and now they can't meet, and they, you know, and everything is moving along nicely, but it's kind of it gets stuck at a certain point, and you want to meet again. This is the reality. I don't, you know, if you are really concerned about about safety, then work with your reality. There is no other thing than work with your reality. You can't make, you cannot commit to marriage over Zoom. Even if you met it before and you're like physically attracted and all of that, you cannot commit to marriage over Zoom. Even though like technically, halachically, you have met, I'm going to say you should not commit to marriage over Zoom. If the two are dating in a place away from Crown Heights, perhaps, or away from the aisle, and you want, you know, like, and whatever, and the aisle is a part of your getting engaged in your family, and everything is ready, and they want to commit to marriage, and they want to get engaged, but you can't go to the aisle, again, that's up to your family, but you can commit to marriage, and then go to the aisle at a later point, or you can just send in your announcement to the Rebbe, or your request from the Rebbe, or whatever it is, so whoever is at the aisle, I think Rabbi Refson is still there. So those are some of the things to consider. If you have any specific questions, you can definitely reach out to me at info@adayad.org, or you can use the anonymous form. There's lots of other resources for Corona times on Adayad's website. That's adayad.org, and there's a special page for dating where the dating ideas are there, and this recording will be there, and why you put out a list of dating ideas, and so that's on that web, on that site as well. So definitely reach out. But I think that shidduchim should continue happening, and Emet Hashem, we will have new engagements and new marriages and new binyan Adayad. Amen. I'm going to unmute you if anyone wants to ask a question this way. You're unmuted.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Remember, you can reach out to me at any point.
Yeah.